Chapter 10. Elizabeth Learns the Truth. Elizabeth had the satisfaction of an answer soon. It read,
My dear niece, I have just received your letter and must say that I was surprised at it. I did not think it necessary for you to ask for information. Your uncle also believed that you knew what was happening at the time. But let me explain. On the day I came home from Longbourn, your uncle had an unexpected visit from Mr. Darcy. He came to say that he had found your sister and Mr. Wickham and had talked to them. The reason he gave was that it was his fault alone that Wickham's true character had been unknown. If he had been more open in the past, no young woman could have fallen in love with Wickham. Mr. Darcy generously felt his mistaken pride was the cause of all our unhappiness, and so he had to help us now. If he had another motive, I am sure it was a good one. When Mr. Darcy spoke to Lydia, he offered to help her leave Wickham and come home, but she would not do so. She wanted no help and would not hear of leaving Wickham. She was sure they would get married some day. Then he spoke to Wickham, and found he had no intention of marrying Lydia. Wickham told him he had to leave his regiment because of problems with money. Mr. Darcy asked him why he had not married your sister. Mr. Bennet was not very rich, but he and your uncle would have helped Wickham as much as they could. But Wickham, it seemed, still hoped to marry some young lady with a great fortune, perhaps in another part of England. Mr. Darcy saw how desperate Wickham's situation was and understood that he would marry Lydia if offered enough money. When Mr. Darcy came to us, your uncle wanted to give him back the money he had paid Wickham, but he refused. They talked for a long time, but your uncle could do nothing. But, Lizzie, nobody must know of this. Only you, or perhaps Jane. That is all. I hope the story will cause you no displeasure. We saw Mr. Darcy at the wedding, and the next day he dined with us. Will you be angry with me, my dear Lizzie, if I now say how much I like him? His behaviour to us has been as pleasing as when we were in Derbyshire. His understanding and opinions all please me. He needs nothing but a little more liveliness, and that his wife may teach him. But I must write no more. Yours, M. Gardner.
Elizabeth did not know if she felt more pain or pleasure. Mr. Darcy had done all this. He had had to meet the man he most wished to avoid, to talk to him and give him money. He had done this for her sister. Her heart said he had done it for her. But this hope lasted only a moment. He could not have. For a woman who had already refused him once had become a relative of Wickham's. Oh, how she suffered to remember all the impudent things she had said in the past. She was mortified, but she was proud of him. The day of Wickham and Lydia's journey north came. Mrs. Bennet was quite unhappy for several days until she heard that the housekeeper at Netherfield had received word her master was coming in a day or two.
"Well, well, and so Mr. Bingley is coming,"
she said.
"So much the better. He is nothing to us, and I am sure I never want to see him again. But he is very welcome to come to Netherfield if he likes, and who knows what may happen."
Jane had not been able to hear of his coming without blushing. When they were alone, she assured Elizabeth that the news did not cause her pleasure or suffering. She was only glad he came alone, because they would see less of him. Over the next days, Mrs. Bennet talked of nothing else till Jane and told a beer. Over the next days, Mrs. Bennet talked of nothing else till Jane told Elizabeth she was beginning to be sorry that he was coming at all. She would be happy when his stay at Netherfield was over. On the third morning after Mr. Bingley's arrival, he came to visit.
"There is a gentleman with him, Mama,"
said Kitty.
"Who can it be? Oh, it looks just like the man who was with him before. Mr. What's his name? That tall, proud man."
"Mr. Darcy. And so it does.
Jane looked at Elizabeth with surprise. Both sisters were uncomfortable. Each felt for the other. Their mother talked on of her dislike for Mr. Darcy and her decision to be polite to him only as Mr. Bingley's friend. When the gentlemen came in, Elizabeth said as little to either as politeness would allow. She only looked once at Darcy, who seemed as serious as usual. Bingley, she had seen for a moment, looking both pleased and embarrassed. He was received by Mrs. Bennet with a politeness which made her daughters ashamed, especially when contrasted with the cold politeness to Mr. Darcy, who, after asking her how Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner were, said almost nothing. He seemed more thoughtful and less anxious to please than when they had last met. She asked after his sister, but could do no more.
"It is a long time, Mr. Bingley, since you went away,"
said Mrs. Bennet. He agreed.
"I began to be afraid you would never come back. A great many changes have happened since you went away. Miss Lucas is married, and one of my own daughters. Have you heard of it?"
Bingley gave her his compliments.
"It is a delightful thing to have a daughter well married,"
she continued. Elizabeth was so ashamed she could not look up. How Mr. Darcy looked, she could not tell. She only felt better when she saw Bingley, attracted again by Jane's beauty, speak to her more and more. He found her as beautiful as last year and as agreeable, if more silent. When the gentlemen got up to go, Mrs. Bennet invited them to dinner a few days later. Elizabeth was left to think about Mr. Darcy's behaviour.
"Why, if he came only to be severe and silent and indifferent, did he come at all?"
she thought.
"If he could still be pleasing to my uncle and aunt, why not to me?"
Jane soon joined her with a happy look.
"Now,"
said she,
"that this first meeting is over, I feel easy. I shall never be embarrassed again by his coming. I am glad he dines here. It will then be seen that we meet only in a friendly manner."
At the dinner at Longbourn, Elizabeth observed Bingley's behaviour to her sister. He showed an admiration which made her think that Jane's happiness and his own would soon be settled, if he could decide alone. She looked at Mr. Darcy, but he did not show his feelings. He was seated far from her, next to her mother. She could not hear any of their conversation, but she could see how little they spoke to each other and how formal and cold was their manner. Her mother's impoliteness made the thought of what he had done for them even harder. She would have given anything to tell him that his kindness was known and felt by her and hoped the evening would bring them together. After dinner, she waited only for the men to return.
"If he does not come to me then,"
said she,
"I shall forget him."
The gentleman came, and she thought he looked as if he would have answered her hopes, but there was no place around the table where she and Jane were making tea and coffee. Darcy walked away. She followed him with her eyes, angry with herself for her feelings. A man who had once been refused. How could she expect a renewal of his love? When he came up to her later, she took the chance of saying,
"Is your sister at Pemberley still?"
"Yes, she will remain for some time."
She could think of nothing more to say, and had no chance to speak to him alone that evening. A few days later, Mr. Bingley visited again, alone, because his friend had left for London that morning for 10 days. Mrs. Bennet invited him to dine, and although it was not possible that day, he accepted the invitation immediately for the following day. Over the next days, Mr. Bingley visited often. One day, Elizabeth walked into the drawing-room and saw her sister and Bingley standing close together, speaking seriously. They quickly turned around, and their faces told it all. They did not speak till Bingley said a few words to Jane and hurriedly left the room. Jane immediately kissed her sister and told her she was the happiest woman in the world.
"It is too much,"
she said.
"Far too much. Oh, why is not everybody as happy? But I must go this minute to my mother. He has gone to my father already. Oh, Lizzie, how is it possible to be so happy?
When Bingley returned, he came up to her and asked her for the good wishes and affection of a sister. Elizabeth warmly expressed her delight. When she could speak, Mrs. Bennet said to her daughter,
"Oh, my dear, dear Jane, I am so happy. I am sure I shall not sleep all night. I always said it must be so. I was sure you could not be so beautiful for nothing."
Wickham and Lydia were all forgotten. Jane was her favourite.